Almighty and eternal God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love. Help us to live as Christians each day and to find joy in following your commands. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is from Philippians 1, verses 18 through 27. The Apostle Paul had a struggle in his life where he wanted to go home to heaven. He was tired at times of dealing with sin in the world and all the persecution and problems, but he was still here. We have that same battle at times. Wouldn't it be nice to just go straight home to heaven and have that perfect life in a perfect place and no more temptation and sorrow and sin? Well, someday we'll have that, and in the meantime, God enables us to live here in this sinful world, and like Paul, to stay strong in our faith in Him. Paul writes, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, because I know that this persecution, will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the support of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. This matches my earnest expectation and hope that I will in no way be put to shame, but with all boldness, as always, so even now, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Yes, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to go on living in the flesh, that will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet which should I prefer? I do not know. I am pulled in two directions because I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for your sake that I remain in the flesh. And since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. And so, by my coming to you again, my goal is to give you even more reason to boast in Christ Jesus. Just conduct yourselves in a way that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit, contending together with one soul for the faith of the gospel." Our psalm reading for tonight is Psalm 27. The psalm expresses our trust in the Lord that He'll provide and care for us. Please join me in reading Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers advance against me, when my foes and my enemies come against me, it is they who will stumble and fall. If an army lines up against me, my heart will not fear. If war rises against me, even then I will keep trusting. One thing I ask from the Lord, this is what I seek, that I live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Yes, He will hide me in His shelter on the day of trouble. He will hide me in His tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be lifted up above the enemies who surround me. Lord, teach me your way and lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not give me up to the desire of my foes, because false witnesses rise up against me, and so do those who breathe out violence. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." The gospel lesson is from Matthew chapter 20, the first 16 verses. People come to faith at different times in their life. Sometimes they're baptized into their faith. Sometimes they're an adult when they first believe. Well, it doesn't matter when we come to faith. The reward of faith, heaven, is the same gift that God gives to everyone. Because it's not something we deserve, it's a gift of God's grace, and He gives that home in heaven to all who believe in Him. Indeed, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After agreeing to pay the workers a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. He also went out about the third hour and saw others standing unemployed in the marketplace. To these he said, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will give you whatever is right." So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. When he went out about the 11th hour, he found others standing unemployed. He said to them, "Why have you stood here all day unemployed?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He told them, "You also go into the vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, starting with the last group and ending with the first." When those who were hired around the 11th hour came, they each received a denarius. When those who were hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but they each received a denarius too. After they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "Those who were hired last worked 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have endured the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not make an agreement with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. I want to give to the last one hired the same as I also gave to you. Can't I do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" In the same way, the last will be first, and the first last. God's word for our study and encouragement are the verses of the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked man abandon his way. Let an evil man abandon his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will show him mercy. Let him turn to our God, because he will abundantly pardon. Certainly my plans are not your plans, and your ways are not my ways, declares the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my plans are higher than your plans." Dear fellow worshipers, you know what the word procrastinate means? Procrastinate means I'm putting something off for another time. I've decided I'm not going to do that right now. I'm not going to take it up right now. Usually when people procrastinate, it's for something that they don't really like to do. In a couple of weeks, all the leaves will be falling. I don't know if you like to rake leaves or not and clean up your yard, but that's pretty easy to procrastinate, not pick up the leaves. Maybe it's a tax season and you got to get your taxes ready to go, and it sure is easy to procrastinate with that until the last minute. You might procrastinate with a doctor's visit or some unpleasant thing that you've got to do. You just put it off. You're not going to worry about it right now. You're just going to let it ride for a while. Well, maybe that's okay for some things to procrastinate. But when it comes to spiritual things, that becomes very dangerous. Some people think, well, I can put off spiritual things for another time. I'm young. I'm going to live a long time, and I've got plenty of time to get in my right way with the Lord. There are Christian people who think, well, I'm a Christian and I have my faith and I don't necessarily need to follow the Lord every single day or do all of these things that he's asking me to. They put off living as a Christian to procrastinate. Well, that's a very dangerous thing to do spiritually because it leaves us unprepared for what the Lord has coming for us. We have a good encouragement tonight in these words from Isaiah because he's encouraging the Old Testament people to take care of their sins and not procrastinate. It's a reminder for us that our time here is our time of grace. Our lifetime here is our time to come to faith and then to stay in faith and serve the Lord, and there will be no other time. As we go through our life here, we listen to Jesus' invitation. And as we do, we hear the love in his voice that calls out to us. And then we trust that God's wisdom is there. We can trust what he wants for us in our lives and know that it's always going to be a blessing for us. Isaiah is obviously the one who wrote this book by God's inspiration. Isaiah's name means that the Lord saves. As a prophet, God would tell Isaiah what to tell these people. He would give him the words, and Isaiah was to tell him exactly like God had said. And if you read the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 to 39, is all about God saying to the people, you have to repent of your sins. You've got to turn away from your sins. The people, and this is God's chosen nation, they fell into idolatry. They're bowing down to idols. They're doing all sorts of sinful things. And for these first 39 chapters, Isaiah is saying, now is the time to repent. Now is the time when you have to change your hearts and minds about the things that you've done. Now is time to know that God has forgiven you of your sins. Well, it was God's judgment on the people. Now, in chapters 40 to 66, God is giving them that opportunity to be forgiven and to know that God has taken away all of their sins. And this is the first part again of our Bible reading. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. You know how you can watch TV and they have ads on there and they say, the stock is limited, which is intended to get you to buy whatever it is on TV. Or maybe there's a time limit. It's only good until Friday, the sale that's going on. Well, that can be a real slick sales pitch. But God is not giving a sales pitch when he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. There really is a time limit. For people who are unbelievers, they figure that their life is long, and if they're interested in God at all, they'll do that later. They're going to procrastinate. Even Christians think, well, I have my faith, and I'm forgiven of my sins. Now I can just go and live as I want, and then later on in life, when I'm getting ready to die, then I'll come back to the Lord again. And they procrastinate too. The problem is, how much time do we really have? Any one of us could be called home to heaven at any time. Jesus could return at any time. All the signs that we read about in the Bible for Judgment Day, they're here already. We can't count on having a whole lot of time so that we can procrastinate in spiritual things. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And for the believer that has strayed away from the Lord, this is the time to see our sins, to confess and repent of those sins, and to have God's forgiveness. We are to listen to this invitation that God is giving through Isaiah. It was similar to what God wanted to do in the New Testament times too, when Jesus came. Do you remember when Jesus was transfigured on that mountain? His appearance changed so that Peter, James, and John could see him in all of his glory, just dazzling bright white, shone like the sun, the Bible says. Do you remember what God the Father said as Jesus was being transfigured? He said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. The disciples were to listen to Jesus. And that means hearing what Jesus had to say and then doing what Jesus was asking them to do. And that's what Isaiah is doing here too with the Lord's words. Here's what Jesus wants you to do. Listen to what he says and then do what he says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. In other words, give up a sinful life. Give up staying away from the Lord or procrastinating in spiritual things and turn to the Lord in faith. The only way that happens is through the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that starts our faith out. He creates it. He's the one that strengthens us, and it's through God's word and sacrament. He's the one that's there to help people keep their faith their whole life long. Jesus has this wonderful invitation, like God gave to the Old Testament people, to come to the Lord in faith, knowing that he will forgive and take care of all of our sins. When you receive an invitation from someone, maybe it's for a birthday party or something else that's going on, but maybe you get this invitation and you already have plans. You have a whole bunch of stuff that you want to do. And so then you have to decide whether you want to do what you want and have planned or go to the party. It's nice that they invited you, but you're going to have to decide what to do. What about when it comes to God's invitation? He says things like this in Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. How about this one? This is from Matthew 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. That implies that when you and I come to Jesus, we're going to be repentant of our sins, confessing them, and then repenting them, having a change of heart and mind about sin, and then trusting that Jesus has forgiven all those sins. Well, we've heard that invitation plenty of times. That's a familiar Bible verse. But are we taking Jesus up on it? Or maybe we have other plans. Maybe we're doing other things and we're too busy for the spiritual stuff and daily staying with the Lord. Living a Christian life is no time to procrastinate. There's not a better time for us to live like a believer or to grow in our faith. God wants us to do that right now. And that's why he gives us this wonderful invitation to seek the Lord while he is here, to live like a believer every day, to ask for the Lord's help every day, living in a way that's going to please him, because that's what he's expecting of us. This is our time of grace. That's what it's for. We're listening to that invitation, and then we're hearing the love in God's voice. One of the things that you notice in the Old Testament is how prone the believers were to have idols, to literally bow down to things made out of wood or metal. It happened at Mount Sinai when God was giving them the Ten Commandments and they made this golden calf. And it happened all throughout the Old Testament. I don't know if they learned all this in Egypt when they were slaves there. They could have done that. But this was a real problem. And the people had done that. They had been loving God, loving idols, back and forth throughout the whole Old Testament history. They loved God, and then they loved themselves and other things. They'd follow the Lord, and then they'd complain about him. Quite often in the Old Testament, they would criticize God. They would grumble against him, strong in faith, weak in faith. God's very patient with those Old Testament people. God gave them, even after all of that, he gave them this opportunity to confess and repent. He didn't need to. They didn't deserve it. All they deserved really from God was his punishment, but he gave them this opportunity. After all those things had happened, he still holds out that wonderful gospel message. Confess and repent, you'll be forgiven and have your salvation. Well, that's the same message that we need to hear today, because nothing has changed in our sinful world from Old Testament times. People still bow down to idols, not necessarily statues or images made of metal, but there's plenty of other things to love more than God. It's really the same problem, but it's also the same solution. God still offers that to anyone. To the unbeliever who's been an unbeliever their whole life long, God offers them that wonderful gift of salvation. When believers stray away from the Lord, God is still there. Even if we stray away from him a long time, even if someone is in church for not in church for many years, it's still there, that wonderful invitation. And what a blessing that is in your life and mine. God never gives up on us. People might be unfaithful to God, but God is always there for them because it's his undeserved love that gives him that wonderful love and care. Here's the Apostle Peter talking about people living as Christians. He says, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's God's grace. And as he invites people to believe in him or to continue in their faith, he continues to show that undeserved love for them. Sometimes it's really hard to live as a Christian. We have this sinful nature living inside of us, and then here are all these things that God expects of us every day. The thoughts, words, actions, everything is to be in line with the way that God wants us to live. And in a sinful way, it's easy to think, well, there's all these rules, all these commands, all these things God expects of me. And the temptation is to think, well, that really takes all the fun out of life. It's hard to live like a believer. It's a struggle every day to live like a Christian. In the Bible Information Class book, there is a true and false question about this idea that God's laws take the fun out of life. And here's the true and false question. It says, God gives us his law because he wants us to live happy lives. Now, if you're thinking in a human way, that's got to be false. Living and following God's laws is hard. It's not a good thing. But when you think of that as a Christian, it's really true. God gives us all these laws. He gives us all these commands because what does he want for us? He wants us to be in heaven with him. And it's true. God's given all these laws and commands so that we remain Christians. Everything that God expects of us as a believer sets us apart from the unbelieving world. And that helps us as we use God's word and sacrament. It's also an example to other people of what's important. It's also something that where we encourage each other. As we live like Christians, we're encouraging one another to live as Christians. And all of this is possible, not because of anything we've done, but because of God's grace. We don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve his forgiveness. but he gives it to us anyway because of that undeserved love. This is our time of grace. We're listening to God's voice. He certainly loves us and shows that in his invitation to stay strong in him in faith. And the third thing that Isaiah encourages us to do is to hold on to and trust the wisdom that God gives. Here's what our Bible reading said again right at the end. "Certainly my plans are not your plans, and your ways are not my ways, declares the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my plans are higher than your plans." When you're a parent, you want to teach your kids everything that you can. You teach them how to stay safe, how to look for cars crossing the road, not touch the hot stove. There's just thousands of things that you want to teach your kids. Well, we want them to have that wisdom to help them through life, and that wisdom that is about God is the most valuable of all. In the verses that I just read, right at the end of our reading, you know what the Lord is saying to us? My ways aren't your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He's telling us just how well and how great his wisdom is. You and I go through life and we wonder what's going to happen. We don't really know everything that's out there. We don't really understand God's ways sometimes. But God has this supreme wisdom to know exactly what to do for us at just the right time. His ways aren't the ways that we would think about, and his plans may not be what we thought about for ourselves. But remember what's motivating the Lord. It's his love for us. And rather than trust ourselves, God wants us to put our trust and our confidence in him. Trust his wisdom for our lives. Trust the things that he promises to us. And trust the things that we know will come true because God will keep those promises. This is our time of grace. Rather than trust our own wisdom, we put our confidence in the Lord and rely on him. There were a lot of people in the Bible that thought they were pretty smart. Adam and Eve thought that way. When it came to eating that fruit from the tree, they thought it was going to be a good decision. Obviously, it wasn't. Moses thought he was being pretty smart when God asked him to be the leader of the people, and Moses said, no, I'm not going to be a very good leader, so then he declined to do what God had asked of him. Remember the prophet Elijah? He thought he was the only believer left, and then he thought, well, that's it. Might as well end my life here, Lord, because I'm the only believer here. But he was wrong, too. And then Jonah is another example. We're reading about Jonah in the Meditations this week, and Jonah thought he was pretty smart. God asked him to go to preach to the city of Nineveh, and he thought, well, that's not going to work. So Jonah didn't go at first. Then he had other ideas. The temptation is there for you and I to think that in whatever way it is, that we're pretty smart, that we can maybe handle life on our own, or maybe we can trust our own wisdom and our own strength to see us through instead of trusting God. And unfortunately, if you and I do that, we're making a big mistake. We're no match for the Lord. He knows everything about us. He knows our strengths and weaknesses. He knows everything that can help us in this life. And that's what he wants for us, to put our trust and our confidence in him. And that's what we're able to do through the faith that he has given to us. No one is wiser than God, and what confidence we can have in relying on him for everything in our life. If I procrastinate, I'm putting it off for another time. But this time, in this life, procrastinating spiritual things is never a good thing. God wants us to be so strong in faith, we resist temptation, so strong in faith that we can have confidence and trust his promises, and so strong in faith that we're looking for something better coming, that wonderful home in heaven that God has promised to all who believe. What a blessing to have this time of grace and to live it every day with the faith that God provides. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with our confession of faith. Tonight we're using the third article of the Apostles' Creed. This is about the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith, In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. Last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. We will continue with our prayers. Heavenly Father, you have created this world and given us our time of grace here, but you have told us that this sin-filled world will not stand forever. Yet your love found a way to take care of the sin that came to this world, for you sent your only Son, Jesus, to pay for the sins of all people. We rest our faith on your love, asking that you forgive us where we have transgressed your commandments and our faith has wavered. Endless praise be to you, Father, for making us acceptable in your sight through the work of your Son, Jesus. Dear Savior Jesus, we live in a world that is utterly sinful and hostile towards God and anything spiritual. It is filled with temptations that appeal to our sinful flesh. We are constantly tempted. Our comfort and hope is in your glorious return when you will bring to an end all things here and take us home to heaven. During the time that remains, help us to apply our hearts and minds to heavenly wisdom and to grow in faith using your word and have that comfort and assurance through your sacrament. Graciously preserve our faith from growing cold. Dwell within us through the Holy Spirit so that we may prove the sincerity of our faith by living a Christian life of faith. Holy Spirit, we ask you to create in us humble hearts so that we daily confess and repent of all of our sins. Turn our thoughts continually from worldly matters to God and to Jesus, who will one day come to take us to himself. Give us the strength to flee from temptation and lust. Lead our footsteps along the paths of being a Christian, guided by your word. Fill our hearts with the love of Christ so that we will in turn love each other. What great joy is ours as we have our faith and live our faith and look forward to living with you above. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for this wonderful gift of salvation and continue to preserve us in this one true faith. Gracious Father, we know that you are concerned about your children and all of their needs. Tonight we pray on behalf of Cole and Brittany DeWise as they expect the birth of their baby. We ask you to strengthen them with the assurance that you will watch over them through the time of labor. You will support them with your mighty power as that time draws near. We ask you to place them into your care and gladden their heart with the gift of a healthy child. We praise you for every opportunity we have to be your instruments of the creation of new life. Help us to rejoice in this birth and to find a great privilege in serving you here. We pray this in Jesus' name, and then we'll join in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.